We mustn't judge. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Van Sciver Town Podcast. We're the People's Temple Podcast Project, ladling out Kool-Aid. All those in need. Are you thirsty? Have a sip. Everyone, I'd like to introduce you to my friends. First, there's Oakley.
Hello, hello. It's a fantastic night. Once again, the fortunate people in the Aether Sphere will be able to have an audio feast. I'm really jealous of them.
Me too. It's like hearing the Beatles for the first time, isn't it? For everybody else?
It very well might be.
And our friend, Michael. How you doing, Michael?
Hey, tonight I think we're going to take advantage of this situation. I'm going to filibuster this podcast for the next 13 hours. I'm sorry. Hi, this is Michael. Let's move on.
Will we be able to come to any conclusion about murder and whether it's wrong or not?
Maybe in 13 hours or so, someone will send us a message about it.
CHV, what's going on, my hockey-loving friend?
Not too much. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing okay. It's a lovely evening. Let's introduce Nearing as well, our attorney.
I'm pent up tonight, you guys. I feel like I've been stimulated, and there's no release.
But isn't alcohol supposed to be a depressant?
Very true. Very true.
Well, he's depressed now.
I'm depressed now. There was no release. Ah. It's like reading 11 chapters of a 12-chapter novel.
There's always tomorrow.
There's always tomorrow. That's what
there's
Annie
always
says.
Tomorrow. Yeah,
the
for dreams.
No, no,
Rudolph. Rudolph, there's always tomorrow for dreams to come true. I hope none of my dreams ever come true.
Yeah, bad dreams.
Yes, constantly. Like, if this dream came true, I'd shit my pants. This is not good.
Great.
Well, folks, it's been a heck of a week. I just got back from Emerald City Comic Con, which is in Seattle. That went swimmingly. And then I saw Bon Jovi, which I'm sure is Michael's favorite group.
Hell yeah! Living on a prayer.
On Tuesday night. I actually downloaded the best of Bon Jovi onto my iPod.
Did you pay for it?
I did. It was $24. It was like a 3-disc. It was... I tried to listen to it.
I don't remember what it's called, but a few years ago, a friend of mine who's a big Bon Jovi fan showed me something. They were releasing something with like 10 discs in it, some kind of box set. So I'm sure that should be next on your shopping list.
Well, how could there be that much music from Bon Jovi?
I don't know. I think it might have been live and demos and stuff, but sorry, I keep cutting off Oakley. Go ahead.
That's what I was wondering. I mean, like everyone, there's at least one Bon Jovi song that people find acceptable. Is there three albums worth, like three CDs worth that constitute being best of, like their
the
greatest
extra
hits?
Long version of Wanted Dead or Alive.
He actually does have a lot of hit songs, so I could understand it.
Have you guys
heard really? I'm sorry, CHV.
Have you guys heard about Bon Jovi's restaurant in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Is this the one where he gives things away? He gives away free food?
Well, it's a place where paying for the meal is optional, but if you can't pay for it, you have to somehow do charity work or some sort of work for the foundation in order to kind of pay it back.
Isn't that how the Mormons work?
Yeah. Yeah, more or less. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. I'm going to ask Bon Jovi how he feels about Mormonism. I suspect not that great. I just read that his daughter is like a heroin addict, and nice. She was arrested.
Oh. Yeah.
In December, and like he had no idea. His whole thing was, I didn't know. I think I would suspect if my kid were taking drugs. I don't want to be judgmental.
If she lives with him, yeah.
Now, when she scores the heroin, does she have to pay for it, or can she, you know, do good deeds?
In exchange. Work at the dealer for a while.
Yeah.
You know, I just saw this other thing I wanted to talk to you guys about because it's been on the news. I don't know if everybody's talking about it yet, but Miss Teen Delaware. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
I do not.
Well, Miss Teen Delaware, the winner of that pageant where, what's his name, our vice president came from.
Okay.
She was an amateur porno star. And yeah, she was crowned, and then people found this video of her, and it's very funny. It's like, you know, there's like a website called egotist.com or egoist, or is it egotist? I don't know. But they interspliced scenes from her performance with scenes from her on stage. There's like her getting the crown put on her head and then her getting the crown put on her face at the same time. So that's really, it's really vile. But what kills me is how, you know, in the old days, pornography was something that was kind of like, you know, only the rare oddball got involved with making that. You know, it was like, you know, like weirdos, like, what's her name? Marilyn Chambers and Obama's mother. Like,
nowadays. That's bad.
It's not completely inaccurate, though.
Right. But nowadays, it seems like a lot of people do it because God knows it's all over the internet. There's all this amateur with these girls that just like girls you went to school with.
Yeah, there's so much out there that it just seems to be the norm.
Yeah.
Not many people know this, but the working title of his first book was Dreams from My Fluffer.
Oh.
What I find most bizarre, though, it's so common now. Like, it used to be, like, back in the day when everyone thought it was, like, the scummiest of scummy things. They were doing it to make a living. Like, they made money. Now, I don't even understand how the industry exists. So, like,
yeah, because everything's free. Why do you need to pay for it now?
Right.
Well, the other thing is, I always thought, boy, it would cost an awful lot to convince a young woman to have sex, but then to have sex on camera. You know what I mean? And then they could pay like $500. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't know. I think women, if they're professional, if they're done by some, you know, California studio, I think the women probably get more than that. But the funny thing is, most of these women are putting up videos and photos of themselves for free on the web. They're not even getting paid for this.
Well, who posted the video of Miss Delaware? Was it an old boyfriend or something?
It's probably her.
No, it was an actual, like,
it's produced.
It was produced. Yeah. Like, it's an actual, like, she's trying to be in a porn movie. Not like, oh my God, we made a sex tape and it got leaked.
Yeah.
No, this is actually trying to be in porn, which is just ridiculous. Like, you throw away opportunity for, you know,
right,
a couple bucks.
Was she hot?
Yeah, well, I mean, she's Miss Teen Delaware. She's a beautiful girl. I don't know what she was thinking. But, you know, the video itself, because you could click and watch the video, and frankly, of course I did. You know,
pass that link along.
It was weird. It was kind of like, it was almost R-rated. They seemed to have cut out anything all that interesting. But they did have an interview with her at the beginning. You know how they sit you down on the bed and the, you know, well, this is what they did to me. And they interview you and say, why are you doing this? Well, they, you know, they did that to her. They're like, is this a secret? Does your family know? And she's like, well, it's not any big secret, but no, I didn't tell anyone.
One question I have about that, it's Miss Teen Delaware. Is she 18 or 19? Because if she's not, it's actually illegal to put her in a porno.
Well, Michael, one would assume that, you know, many people are producing pornography with underage girls these days and, you know, letting it be available on the internet, I think. I don't know.
Only Democratic senators.
Right. Not since Menendez's company went under.
Oh, it's a fucking nightmare. What is this world coming to? It really is falling apart. Society is falling apart. I mean, there is no shame anymore. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing that, you know, I mean, sexual hang-ups have seemed to kind of go the way of the dodo, but, man.
And every time we see one of these things come out in the news, to me, I get surprised at it, and I wonder why I'm surprised. Maybe it just actually keeps getting worse, because if it was the same thing over and over, I think I would just view it as, okay, another one of these, but it does seem to keep getting worse.
Of course it gets worse.
Yeah,
it wasn't like this when I, you know, in the 80s. Really wasn't, but I mean, we didn't have access to pornography in the 80s. My God.
Well, we had Rob Lowe.
Did you ever see that video?
I've seen
the Snow White video.
The Snow White video.
Not the Snow White video. Him with two 17-year-olds.
Yeah, no, it's just one. It was him and his friend teaming a 17-year-old.
Oh.
Yeah, no,
I thought it was him and two girls.
No. I don't even know. I don't remember now. It was a long time, but I do remember it was weird because it was him and another guy, and there was this girl, and I had a blurry copy that came from NBC News. And NBC News had titled it Low Blow. And,
wow.
I mean, it was more just the novel, because I mean it had been copied so many times on video and it was so blurry that NBC, the local NBC affiliate, could almost air it, you know, wow, on TV. But yeah, I mean that was a big shocking deal, but I don't know, you know, it's like a
sorry, kind of one of the, yes, I was just gonna say, in general with video or reports like that, it kind of sucks in a way that a lot of stuff that existed before the internet became mainstream just doesn't exist on the web. Like, I've tried to find, you know, music videos and things like that from the 80s, and because it was never a big thing while the internet was big, it just doesn't exist because nobody cares or remembers it.
Yeah.
The internet is kind of like our television in a sense, because for like our parents' generation, because I vividly remember a time when there was no internet, and my son doesn't.
Right.
I mean, my son, the idea of a world without an internet is going to be funny to him. It's not that funny to me.
My kid knows Anakin far better than he knows Luke. Far better.
That's wrong.
You should have headed that off at the pass and directed him toward the right movies to watch.
It's too late now.
I've been reading that Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, and Carrie Fisher are almost signed on the dotted line for the new Star Wars movies.
Carrie Fisher is definitely in.
Yeah, she's already confirmed.
I'm pretty sure she'll be in anything that they pay her for, though, so not a big deal there. That's why she's shame.
Didn't Jason Mewes perform Cunnilingus on her for money?
Yes.
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
No, it wasn't for money. It was what's his name? What's his name? The comedian that told them they had to, in order to pick up to get rides to thumb a ride, they had to give the driver head. So they got a ride from Carrie Fisher, and yeah, Jason Mewes went back to. What's the comedian's name? He's dead now. He's
George Carlin.
Yeah, he's the one who played the part of the guy who told them to do that. Yeah. So he, you know, thinks back to George Carlin telling him that, tries to do it on Carrie Fisher, and next thing you see is the car pull over at the side of the road, kicking them out of it.
Yeah, I think if you have a checkbook, you have Carrie Fisher.
Right?
Oh, come on now. She's Hollywood royalty, or daughter of Hollywood royalty. A very sad story, her parents.
You know, I sort of saw Carrie Fisher at the first C2E2, and she was there giving or selling autographs, but she was surrounded by this little series of curtains, like it was a magic tent. So people would go in there and get their autograph and leave, but she put out these little blockades up so people couldn't see her. And I mean, ever so often, you know, someone would go in and part the drapes and you could see like a glimpse of her, and she was just signing autographs, but you couldn't see her very well.
I was supposed to meet her on Saturday. She was going to be at Monster Mania, but she had a health issue, and she's out.
It's called getting in shape for the metal bikini.
There you go. So,
fingers crossed.
She's going to need a metal momo.
Oh, come on. I think it's going to be lovely. She's going to look like an elder stateswoman of the galaxy. I'm excited about this. I said the only way that I would want to see another Star Wars movie made is if they got the original cast and just showed us the next generation. I want to see their kids.
Yeah.
I want to see them as old people, you know, retired. But all this extra side story that comes out of Star Wars, all these animated series that they try to do, it's just crap. And I hate all these new characters from the first three movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, you hate Jar Jar?
Oh no, not him.
Everyone except Jar Jar. You know who
I hate? He's so endearing.
No, I hate that robot, the white robot that walks with crooked legs or whatever that thing is.
You know, Engineer God makes a point that the Clone Wars series, not the movie, but the Clone Wars animated series on Cartoon Network is pretty good.
What does Dodd know? Gorilla Dodd, you are wrong. It's all bad. Everything that Lucas has been involved with since that first Star Wars film, A New Hope, and thank God Empire Strikes Back was taken from him and directed by somebody with talent.
Yeah,
has
he only
been
directed.
Crap.
Yeah.
I was so glad to see Lucas sell it to Disney, because Disney has done such a better job of protecting their brand than Lucas ever did.
Well, I think when I read, I don't know how long Lucas had this plan, but I remember being a little kid reading after Return of the Jedi came out. There was an interview with him. He said that he originally, his plan is to do 11 movies, and that was after Return of the Jedi came out. He said at that point he was going to do 3 prequels and 3 sequels, and then he didn't really say what the other 2 would be. But then after he finally did these prequels, which I wish he hadn't done, he came out and said that, oh, I'm going to be too old to do the 3 sequels now, so I'm just not going to do it. So that's probably why he let someone else do it, because he didn't want to.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Well, the prequels weren't all bad. I mean, Sith was a pretty good movie.
I'm not a fan of any of the prequels.
The biggest problem was, unfortunately, a Canadian. Hayden Christensen was just horrifying. Like, he doesn't have the emotional range to, you know, do that flip over into the dark side, because you're watching it and it was just like all of a sudden he's like, flip a light switch, he was now evil. No progression.
I think for the most part, all of the acting in those 3 movies was very cardboard. Nobody had any emotion at all. They're just all stiff. That was Lucas's directing, I think.
I'll tell you the biggest damage the prequels did for me is now when I go back and watch the original movies, I hear Hayden Christensen's, you know, churlishness in Darth Vader. Like, I don't hear James Earl Jones's voice anymore. I hear Hayden Christensen, and he just sounds whiny. They retroactively made Vader whiny.
Great.
Those first 3 movies turned me gay. it was weird.
We actually stalked him in Toronto so we could tell him how much he ruined Star Wars.
Nice.
Because he lives in Toronto most of the time. And so we saw him one day when we were out, and we kept trying to get closer and closer, but you know, all the people around were, you know.
Yeah.
We're in the way, so it took us probably about 20 minutes to finally get close enough to yell at him that he ruined Star Wars.
Wait a second. I want to have a reality check here, because I know that we're all, except for Michael, in this hobby, you know, comics and everything, and pop culture and everything. I wonder, did he ruin Star Wars, or did he just actually produce 3 new Star Wars movies that were exactly the same as the old 3 Star Wars movies, except in terms of quality, except we're older now and those are not familiar to us and beloved because we didn't see them as kids.
No, I personally think they're just void of emotion and void of most of what you got out of the first ones. Like, there were great personalities in Luke Skywalker and Han Solo. You didn't get that out of anybody in these movies.
Let me give you a test. Without describing the person's appearance or telling me what their job is, describe Han Solo.
Yeah. No, I know where you're going with this, and you're going to ask me to describe.
Now take the exact same test and describe Padme Amidala to me.
Well, I mean,
there's nothing there.
No,
go ahead.
Well, there is some truth to that. Like, the characters were stronger in the original trilogy, but
yeah.
Ethan's also right, though. We're not the target audience. Like, the movies were made for like 5 to 12 year old boys.
Yeah, Lucas didn't say that.
And I saw Star Wars in theater when I was 5. It was the first movie I ever saw.
Yeah.
And it was like the closest to an orgasmic experience that a 5-year-old could have. Like, when that music hit, you were like, oh my God, you know, and then the movie was just amazing. But we're not 5 anymore. Like, I think that would be the ultimate drug, to give you the sense of wonder of a 5-year-old. Well, like, I don't think there would be a better drug in the world, really. And that's the problem. We don't have that sense of wonder anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say about Lucas's comments on the age range for his movies. He said the original three were actually made for adults, and these three were made for like 5 to 12 year olds, as you said.
Return of the Jedi was not made for an adult. Was it?
I have to disagree there, because Sith was not made for kids. I mean, especially when you have a scene, even though it happens off camera, of little kids being hacked to bits with a saber. I mean,
that's my son's favorite part.
And it happens off camera.
Yeah. Well, okay, all right. In a larger scale, let me tell you about something that happened to me today. This is just on the macro of, you know, is this aimed at us, and why? All right, and are we stunted in some way, immature? I got this tweeted to me, a cartoon tweeted to me, and like a bunch of other guys who were involved with Batman. And the cartoon was drawn in kind of cutesy Powerpuff Girls style, but I guess it was drawn by a guy. Uh-huh. And the first panel was Superman and Batman, and they're on a rooftop, and there's a monster, huge monster, King Kong, destroying the city. And Superman goes, "That's the biggest monster I've ever seen." And the next panel, Batman goes, "You know what else is big?" Next panel, Batman yelling, "My dick!" And then the fourth panel, Grayson. And then Dick Grayson swings in. And I just thought to myself, first, you know, it's like, did a grown-up make this cartoon?
Right.
Now, really, like, think about that. Because we're so used to, we're used to seeing, like, things like that on the internet. Uh-huh. Now, wonder, did a 42-year-old man make that cartoon?
Right.
Because that's something that a 13-year-old would make. You know, that I would be familiar with seeing when I was in the eighth grade.
Yeah, I would say that's very true in the past, but I think in the age of the internet, I think adults can find a different type of humor in that. So I think that's kind of, there's a period where you outgrow it and then you kind of fall back into it later on.
Although I think that cartoon is probably even slightly more amusing than any cartoon that would show up in the New Yorker.
Right.
Well, you know, I don't know if you guys, any of you guys read Ace of Spades, but he did a really funny series last week where he posited that every New Yorker cartoon is funnier with the caption, "I think I'm going to kill myself." So he reproduced all, you know, there's the guy on the psychiatrist's couch wearing high heels and an Indian hat, and the caption, "I think I'm going to kill myself."
Right.
But then he took it and did it with other cartoons, like the Family Circus. Every Family Circus cartoon works better with the caption, "I think I'm going to kill myself."
Well, the thing I've seen is I've seen Family Circus cartoons, except the captions are taken out of H.P. Lovecraft novels.
Oh. I mean, we are.
Funny enough, I'm actually, my microphone is sitting on top of three books right now to be the right height because I don't have a stand with me. And one of those books is The Complete Works of H.P. Lovecraft. I think you're channeling my microphone over here.
You know, I saw that Alan Moore and O'Neill just put out a little hardback, and it's about, I think it's called Heart of Ice, and it's about Captain Nemo as a younger man going to the Antarctic with the Nautilus and running into the city there of the Mountains of Madness, the ancient city made by the the overlords of Cthulhu and stuff like that, and the giant penguins and stuff like that. So it's all about Nemo versus Cthulhu. But it just came out last week.
I know nothing.
You know what just came out the other day?
Your what? Dick.
I think I'm going to kill myself.
That came out just now. No, Hugo Chavez's ghost. Dude, he's dead.
His ghost.
Hooray. I like his last words, or what were his last words, Neri?
"I don't want to die. Please don't let me die."
Yay! He doesn't want to die. Yay. And he died.
You mean it wasn't Rosebud?
That's just, as a leader, like, who released those words? Like, are those real?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's like, what everybody's saying. His doctor said it, or his doctor released it. I think that doctor's going to get lined up and shot.
Oh, he's dead already, probably.
Yeah. He's dead.
That is terrific.
9 minutes after that was released, he was dead, I'm sure.
What the hell? CHV, you answer me this, because you are the closest to his politics out of all five of us here.
Yeah, I'm like Chavez. I don't pick grapes, all right?
No, I didn't mean Chavez. I meant Sean Penn.
Oh.
Now, what is it with these guys? I'm going to say guys, because I'm going to be polite. What is it with these guys who find an affinity for evil, horrible, mass-murdering dictators? Now, what is that? Like, what is that thing that makes you say, "Yeah, but he's a great guy. He's my friend." Like,
he helps the people.
Yeah, like, why would you say that?
It's all with these guys. It always comes down to daddy issues.
Explain that.
Well, what
Sean Penn is looking, all these guys who love dictators, they're looking for a daddy. They're looking for someone who's going to take over their lives, tell them what to do. They had some horrible gaping void in their relationship with their own father. They're looking for.
I reject that. I don't think that's true at all. CHV, what's your theory?
Well, you know, well, look at it this way. I mean, at one time, Errol Flynn was a big fan of Castro.
Well, there are a lot of Hollywood actors that were actually supportive of Hitler in the 1930s, believe it or not.
Sure there were.
So, but that's the thing. That was before. I mean, Castro. Everybody was hopeful that he was. You have to be nuts this day and age to be a supporter of Castro. You have to be Oliver Stone. And you know, Oliver Stone, by the way, is the other guy who's mourning Hugo Chavez today.
Yeah.
You know what I think it is, Nearing? I reject what you're saying. I think liberals in general, I think there's a little bit of the daddy issue thing going on there. But I think what it is when you're a rich and powerful leftist, you want to say, the concerns of the little people are not my concerns. Like this guy who's starving out generations of his people, he can't do that to me. I'm on his level. I kind of admire the use of power that this guy exhibits. And I'm on the same plane as him. I can go over there. He can kill millions of people, and I can go over and play Xbox with him. He's, you know, that's what it is. It's a complete power trip. And then you pretend, oh, yeah, we're friends. It's like, what's his name? Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did he just
go to North Korea.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
He went to North Korea, and then, I mean, the same week that North Korea is saying, we will nuke the United States of America.
But, that's complete bullshit, though, and everyone knows it.
Yeah. Well, we would sincerely hope so.
The idea is to come back and say these concerns are, these are the concerns of the peasant class. These are concerns.
In Rodman's defense, though, he did pwn Kim Jong-il at Mass Effect 3.
That'll show him.
At the end of the day, I just wonder that it's like they believe that they know the needs of the people better than others. Like it's like that debate that we were having late last night. I know CHV actually, he actually agrees with, you know, the Rand Paul side of it, that, you know, you shouldn't be able to decide that someone is worthy of being killed without due process on American soil. And there was a bunch of people arguing that, yes, the president should have the unilateral ability to kill American citizens. It just blew my mind.
Well, what I've been hearing on like lefty talk radio, like on Stephanie Miller, is that they seem like they're really nervous about it, but they don't want to say it because they don't want to sound like they're disloyal to Obama. Whereas, you know, like some people think that Obama, you know, he can just walk on water, he can do no wrong. But, you know, I don't feel that way at all about any elected official. That, you know, there's problems I've got with Obama, and, you know, I've got several complaints about him. But, you know, I'm not one of these, you know, lefties who can't bring themselves to criticize him, because that's just stupid. You know, any elected official is worth criticism.
No, absolutely.
One thing also, it's the continuation of power in the sense that anything that you allow Obama to do, any power that you give the executive branch, just because you think Obama has a nice smile, well, hey, you know, Jeb Bush is just around the corner, perhaps. Now, are you going to be so thrilled that you, relinquish that power to the presidency when Sarah Palin is president? I mean, you have to consider these things, and I don't think anyone does.
Right. No. I think there's a big vibe among liberals that either Obama himself or their party will be president for the remainder of time.
Yeah, no.
So I mean, all the things that they were horrified about, all the things that they took to the streets. I mean, you guys remember 10 years ago, they took to the streets. They stopped traffic. They took over the mall to protest, you know, Bush getting these war powers. Oh my God, Bush is putting water in a man's face. Water, for God's sake. And, you know, fast forward 10 years and, you know, because Lena Dunham wants to fuck Obama, you know, you can kill people now and that's okay because they don't believe that he will ever not be president. He's right. It now until the last star falls from the heavens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. but that's not reality, though. That sooner or later, Obama will be out of office and then someone else will be in. And, you know, then there'll be a new presidency, you know, dealing with, you know, a whole new set of questions. I don't know if they're going to be related to terrorism, but, you know, presidents come and go like anything else.
The saddest part is, even if we were lucky enough, and maybe CHV doesn't feel this way, but even if we were lucky enough to see Obama impeached for some of his crimes, we would be stuck with Joe Biden. Yeah. I mean, is that the greatest protection ever? That's probably why he did it. You know, it's like, nobody's going to shoot me. Nobody's going to impeach me because look at this asshole. You
know? Right. But let's put it this way. If someone was going to do something like that, they might think about that ahead of time and, you know, hit Biden on the way out. And then John Boehner is is in
President
office.
Boehner.
Yeah.
God
yeah.
forbid. That would be a nightmare for this country. Yeah. We've seen our share. I have, at least, lunatic conservatives who fantasize. Honestly, this shocks me every time I see it, and I give people dressing downs. But it's like guys who fantasize about Obama's assassination. And right. I mean, you know, I used to just say things like, this is all in you know, your head. You know, I would say this to liberals. Conservatives aren't like this. Conservatives aren't racist. They're not. I'm talking about me, you know, it's like, but then I end up meeting people like that one dude that you guys know who I'm talking about. I think, right? On Tucci's page.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well,
put it in the text box below.
Wait a second.
Spell his name backwards.
Yes.
That'll work.
Get him to say his name backward.
Yeah, you'll send him to his other dimension. For yes. 90 days.
but the dude, he said, I hope some pissed off American, you know, does something to Obama, and it's like, well, can you imagine like the utter nightmare that would be for this country? Like that would rip this country apart. You know, the Kennedy assassination ripped this country apart. But I mean, the first black president, Obama, beloved. It would be an utter nightmare, And John Boehner, if he were president, oh my God. It'd be just violence. I think that might be the end of the United States of America.
What I take issue with is that you called Obama black. We're judging him by his slightly lighter than my skin tone.
It's so now, symbolic, you know. It's important.
Yeah. Just because he has part African heritage. Everyone wants to say he's, you know, the first African American president, but yeah, he's not from the same cloth as most of the black Americans. Most black Americans.
Society's really gone downhill. The hippie generation, like most generations, had a pride in handing society off to the next generation in a better state than it was before. But the hippie generation and now the internet generation, really don't seem to give a rat's ass about doing that. And it's a crazy time. Like, I don't, did you guys hear, I know we've seen some creationism debates on the page, but did you see that they've created zombie cells?
Yeah. Yes. Like they, I saw that.
Like it was on the Huffington Post and a bunch of other places, but they've created zombie cells in a lab setting. Basically it bonds to living tissue. And then when that dies off, it lives on afterwards. And I'm thinking, this is a really bad fucking idea. like,
wow,
this can only go badly. Like, why are we doing these things? I don't understand.
That's like 1950s mad science. I like that. When scientists were evil.
But do you think, like, that's how the zombie apocalypse is going to start? Like, someone's like, hey, we can use this for this and this and this. And, oh, shit. You know, like, and this happened. No.
Well, what was the purpose of the research? Because I don't think I doubt they just said, well, let's just do this for fun. There must have been some sort of larger point behind it.
Well, what they do, it's basically a silica that bonds to the living tissue. Then when the living tissue dies off, they can heat it. The protein in the cell will die. And then the silica remains as a three-dimensional version of that living being. Sorry, go ahead.
So there's no money for White House tours, but this research survived the sequester?
Yeah, well, I mean, the idea, I guess, is that, like, what they want to use it for is, like, supposedly, you know, reusable fossil fuel cells, decontamination, commercial manufacturing. And I'm like, when I got to the commercial manufacturing, I'm like, wait a minute, do they want to make zombies to, like, do the work?
Right. Like,
weird.
I mean,
and you know what? If they did make zombies, how long before there would be a group advocating that they be treated as normal humans and, you know, be paid and everything?
Oh, you know what? The weird thing is that it seems like people are actually insistent, like in a joking way, on a zombie apocalypse, like they want it to happen. And I mean, they really do. Like, they say, I can't, when the zombie apocalypse happens, blah, blah, blah. But I part of me thinks they're only half kidding. And then at this point, society has a death wish.
Yeah. Well, you know, there actually was, you know how there's a show called Preppers? It follows people who are getting ready for emergencies. There was a show a month or two ago on the same station, whatever that is, called Zombie Apocalypse Preppers. And it was all these different people who actually believe that for some reason, out of nowhere, are going to come zombies who, for some other reason, want to eat human flesh. And they're actually preparing for it. They have groups and meetings about it.
I would join that group.
Let's start one.
You know what I've never understood is, like, in movies, now they've kind of, zombies have evolved so that they run and other things in some movies. But, like, we're all primal creatures. We're all animals. You know, we're here to, you know, eat, fight, and fuck, basically. Why have they never made a zombie that wants to, you know, to fornicate with people? You know, it's like you that'd be the most horrifying thing ever. Oh my god, why is this filthy beast fucking me?
Yeah, I mean, that might be scarier than the ones wanting to eat you.
Which in retrospect is probably what half the women that have been goodly enough to sleep with me have thought. But anyway. but you know, like, that would be the most horrifying thing, is like the thing humps you and then bites your head off. You know, that's the coup de grace, like a praying man.
Right.
Wow, that would be weird.
For the grace of God goes Monica Lewinsky.
Where is she now? Where is Monica now?
I think she just, like, opened a purse company or something, to tell you the truth. But
last I heard, she was living in England.
Like Madonna?
Yeah, well, it's like she wants to get away from American culture as much as possible, but, you know.
Lewinsky, boy, her, she had American culture on her dress.
So does England not know about her dress? Is that what she thinks?
Maybe they just don't care as much or something like that. But, you know, Lewinsky, and as well as Clinton, too. But, you know, Lewinsky kind of reminds me of Miss Delaware, that you think you can pull something like that off and it's not going to slam back on you. You know, right. That it's not going to get out.
Right.
It's going to define the rest of your life.
Right.
I mean, it's just bound to.
Yeah. She hosted this really horrible reality show years ago, late 90s, early 2000s, called Mr. Personality. And all the guys were in masks, so the girl had to pick, and she didn't know which ones were good looking or which ones were ugly. But Monica Lewinsky was the host. She was like the Jeff Probst of this show. And she was so friggin' vapid. I mean, there really is nothing going on there. The lights are on, but nobody's home. And you think that this girl blew a president. You know, this girl who, you know, chewing bubble gum and gets it in her hair and, you know, these days would be on Twitter nonstop. And this girl was in the Oval Office with the fucking president.
Dangerous. That's a dangerous thing, isn't it?
I think that reflects more on the president than on her.
Well, I've always said that if there were a Hall of Fame for bad judgment, that Clinton and Lewinsky would deserve their own wing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe and maybe not. Kennedy didn't get in any trouble.
They didn't have the media that we have today.
Yeah, exactly.
Back when Kennedy was around.
Exactly. I mean, the media knew what was going on, but they also knew to keep their mouths shut.
And even Clinton and Lewinsky didn't have the media that we have today. I mean, today, right, with the advent of cell phone cameras, nothing is private.
Right.
Anything you do could become a viral video like that.
And yeah, people are just waiting for it. People are hungry for viral scandal.
Right.
Yeah.
Just waiting for it. Otherwise, they're bored because everybody's got their, you know, I noticed in like 2004, I said, what is going on? Like, I'm noticing just being around town that people all had their heads down in a device of some kind. And it was new. It was like a new thing. It struck me as incredibly antisocial because it was brand new. Everybody just on the bus with their head down looking at something. Instead of looking around, looking at the window, saying hello to each other, walking down the street, on the phone, tapping out some sort of thing on a device.
Yeah, even today, I still will get down on people that I go to hang out with. Will be sitting somewhere, and they'll have their head buried in their iPhone or equivalent, and I explain to them, hey, you're in public. This is what you wish you were doing when you're tapping on your iPhone. Why are you giving up the good thing for the almost good thing?
I do that now. I do that now. I have my iPhone. I was so shocked by it and so like offended by it when it started happening. And then now that's me completely. Right. Why waste any time being bored and not scrolling through the internet at all? Why wait in line?
Yeah.
Just stare at the walls.
Right.
No. Weird.
You know, guys, to kind of change direction a little bit, I wanted to bring up a story I ran into that was related to something we were talking about a couple weeks ago with Orson Scott Card and Superman. And we talked about a few days ago about Chris Sprouse jumping ship on the title. And I found a story in Wired tonight saying that DC is actually, I don't see a confirmation anywhere, but that DC is thinking about actually mothballing that story by Card and completely backing away from it and putting it on the shelf.
Well, that would be nothing new if they did that. They've done things like that for less compelling reasons throughout the years. I mean, it's a struggle for DC because DC doesn't want to take a political stance on anything.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, they just don't. They just don't do that. Their job is to put out good stories and sell comics, right, and not to say to come down on any issue. Because of course, you know, unlike me, they're concerned about alienating 50% of the audience either way. So you know, they've kind of endured this backlash.
Someone pouring a beverage in the background.
Almost.
What do you think?
hit the mute.
I mean, it's almost been unfair to DC because I mean, Marvel didn't take this level of flack when he worked on Iron Man, and I mean, you're absolutely right. They're stuck between a rock and a hard place. I mean, they're either going to be disappointing, you know, people that are religious, or they're disappointing, you know, people that, you know, believe in, you know, LGBT rights. So both are, you know, you shouldn't be disrespecting either religion or anyone really, you know, the LGBT community especially. But it's an either or situation, and until society just, you know, fixes the overall problem, then that's kind of where everything is going to be stuck in these situations.
Yeah, I honestly think that it's kind of clear cut in this case whose side to take.
It is, but I mean, it's just the matter of, you know, there's it's hard to take the side without, again, you know, being offensive to the others. But
my Facebook page is a petri dish for this kind of a discussion, because of course I attract a lot of conservatives, you know, who seem to have expectations of me, and I let them down constantly, and I'm always sad when I have to do that. You know, it's like, oh, Ethan, you're anti-creationist. Oh boy, that really bums me out. Well, I mean, I'm pretty loosey-goosey about everything else, but when it comes to, like, you know, that and then gay rights, I mean, it's like I don't understand for the life of me. Just give me a good reason. Give me a good reason, and I'll side with you guys. If you know, not you guys. I know you're all, you know, pretty much pro gay marriage too. But it's like I asked my dad, who, you know, is Mormon, and I said, just give me a good reason politically, you know, why gays should not be allowed to get married. And it just comes back to this generation. Just comes back to this religious sort of societal, it's evaporates when you examine it any more closely, you know, than, you know, marriage is between a man and a woman.
Well, do you want to know what I always tell people about what I think about the whole marriage thing? And for some reason, people either, I don't know, they don't get it when I say this, or they just think it's a stupid idea, but here it is anyway. I think the whole problem is the use of the word marriage. That's why religious people complain about it, because they say, oh, well, that's part of our religion. Why should we, you know, allow you, you know, to use the marriage portion of our religion and not the rest of it? So what I would say is we should not use the word marriage at all. If the government changed their use of the word marriage to any other word they want and just keep it with the same thing, it's a legal agreement, there wouldn't be anything to complain about. If you still want to get married, you can, you know, go have that done anywhere else.
Well, that's where civil unions come in. And, you know, like in my state in Illinois, civil unions are legal, but but gay marriage is actually, you know, it's about to be passed in the very near future. But you know, I see your point, you know, that civil unions, you know, do allow people to get to, you know, to live together as husband and wife, or wife and wife, or whatever you want to call it. And it doesn't seem like conservatives really care about that. But I agree that, you know, when you use the word marriage, they just completely go apeshit over it and think that there's some sort of holy sanctity behind it. But, you know, I think that the actual marriage title does afford just a little bit more of legal rights.
Well, that's civil unions. Well, what I'm saying is I don't think our government should be allowed to use the word marriage for anybody. They should just change that word to any other word or set of words they want. It'll be the same thing. It just won't have that word. So straight people won't get quote unquote married under the government. Gay people won't get married under the government. They can have a ceremony at whoever wants to can have their own marriage ceremony outside of government. But as far as the government, protections come in, everything can stay exactly the same, and we just change the name that the government is allowed to use on it.
It's just a separate but equal argument.
There's nothing separate. All of us would be under that. None of us would be married by the government. It would be whatever they call it.
So you're talking about common law?
So, well, domestic partnership, yeah, or whatever you want to call it. And then anything that is a religious structure would be totally separate and has no bearing on it. Even if you get married in a church, you still have to register your actual marriage with the government.
Right.
So it's already separate in a lot of respects. It's just a matter of, to get around anyone that wants to debate about the religious aspects of marriage. Yeah. Just a concept.
Yeah, but what if I just don't understand that. I don't think anybody has a monopoly on religion or marriage. And I think that, gay couples could say, well, my religious beliefs state that I should be allowed to get married, to have a marriage.
Right. Then they should get married.
Who's going to argue that?
Just shouldn't have anything to do with the government. The government can keep giving everybody, straight people, gay people, horses, whoever they want, the same thing they're giving them now. I just think the government shouldn't be using the word marriage at all for anybody.
I just want to be clear that I draw the line at marrying dogs.
Oh, well.
I do not draw that line.
Aggressive than you. Hearing doesn't draw it either.
Yeah, but that's a favorite slippery slope argument that the Uber right likes to use, that if, gay people can get married, then, like Engineer Dodd said, that people can marry jellyfish or what have you.
Well, I don't know about marrying jellyfish, but let me ask you this. What if you're a bisexual? I mean, if you're a bisexual and you are attracted to men and women, why should marriage be limited to two individuals?
I don't think bisexual doesn't mean you want to be with more than one person at the same time.
Let's say I use bisexual as a umbrella term. Let's say you're polyamorous.
Well, that's the word you're looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what is the reason for confining the definition of marriage to two individuals? Isn't the reason for that the same reason as for confining it to a man and a woman?
Well, see, this is a great argument to have with the Mormon Church because, we've stretched the boundary and meaning of marriage our damn selves over the last 200 years. I say we. I still associate with them. I don't see why not. I don't see why people shouldn't be allowed to be in legally binding, agreements with more than one person. I just don't see why. I mean, I can understand that, for the purpose of, I don't know. I don't want to get into it too much. Well,
that's another thing. Yeah, that's another thing. I'm saying the government shouldn't be involved in marriage at all.
The government involved in nothing, but frankly.
Right.
But I mean, this all started out with the conversation of like Orson Scott Card and the protest against him, and then DC's reaction to it, Chris Sprouse's reaction to it. Jim Treacher gave it to me. Pretty good via private message on Facebook. I said, boy, I just got, my head handed to me by a conservative that I respect. And, I exaggerate when I say respect. Sometimes I respect Jim Treacher. Other times I think he's crazy. But in this case, he was really concerned about this, again, slippery slope. Of letting protests and boycotts determine, people's employment just because they have controversial political views.
Yeah.
And he's like, next it'll be you.
Uh-huh.
And that's the problem is he's not completely wrong. I'm not saying that I agree with him. From what I've learned of Orson Scott Card, I don't respect his belief structure. But in the end, there comes that line where if we're going to have a small vocal minority, really, because there's not that many people that know who Orson Scott Card is, there's a small minority of people protesting and deciding that this man shall not work. And that could happen to any of us for any number of reasons. I mean, it just could be that they, don't like, people with bald heads, whatever,
And you saw a lot of it, not just Orson Scott Card, but you saw a lot of it with the Prop 8 stuff too, out in California, that people, activists would find who had signed the petition and would boycott to shut that person's business down. And I have nothing against boycotts. Look, boycotts are as American as apple pie. But at some point, it's not so much, I don't like this individual, I don't like this business, I'm not going to support him with my dollars, as it is, I want this guy to starve. I want his family to suffer so that no one ever speaks the way he speaks again.
Yeah.
And that's not persuasive. That's intimidating.
Well, yeah. No, that's the thing. You win hearts and minds with reason, not with fists, not with pounding people into submission. That's kind of where we run into a problem with the gay rights movement, is too often it's become about squashing people and not winning the actual argument. Like, there's enough conservatives and enough Democrats or liberals that believe in LGBT rights, that if they teamed together, it would be done. Mm-hmm. But the problem is they're too busy beating each other up, and nothing is getting done. And I think it's really sad for those people.
Well, I think that the way gay marriage is going to go down is it's just going to continue to be legalized state by state, and then eventually there'll be so many states in where it's legal that doing it at the federal level will just be no big deal anymore.
Quite possibly, yeah.
I don't know, fellas. I think that in this one case, it's different. I don't know if this is going to set a precedent that's going to come around to sort of white people who do not subscribe to whatever the current hive mind majority is. I don't know. I don't know that. What I know now at this point is that there's a group of people who are actively trying to deny another group of people their freedom to be happy. That's just as simple as I see it. So I listened to Jim Treacher, you know, give me the same kind of lecture that I just heard from you guys, and I considered it carefully, and I agree. I'm scared of that. I'm afraid that, you know, one day my very moderate conservative views, I mean, come on. People exaggerate when someone like Mark Waid calls me a Nazi. I mean, you've got to be kidding me,
right? He would say that to any conservative. So he's
lovingly pulling my leg,
right?
You know, he's an extreme leftist, but I mean, you know, I do worry about that. I worry about, you know, maybe people rising up against me and refusing to buy my work. And would I be okay with that, or would I feel like I'd earn that because I didn't stand up for Orson Scott Card's right to deny people their rights? So it comes around to a circle where I'm like, no, at some point there's good and evil. And I mean, if I'm boycotted for, you know, being a John F. Kennedy conservative, which is what I am, then that's evil. But I think also, you know, I identify what Orson Scott Card is doing. Not what he believes. He can believe what he wants, but he's an activist.
Yeah.
He goes out and raises money and gives lectures about things that he shouldn't give a fuck about. I mean, if you're not gay, why do you care what gay people do? I'll never understand that. And he actively tries to convince other Americans to join him in continuing to subjugate and marginalize and deny these people the happiness and the light that they deserve once and for all. Because these are people that have been persecuted and mocked and beaten and had to live in secret, who have had to deny who they are, who have started families, heterosexual families and marriages, had kids that have just suddenly fallen apart because they can't be who they are. I mean, you know, to me, homophobia is a massively destructive force in society.
Yeah,
and there's no need for it. If you don't like gay people, you don't have to be around them. Really, you don't have to be in your life. They're not in your business. Why are you in their business?
Honestly, I believe government is at the root of the problem. If government wasn't involved in marriage, it wouldn't be an issue, I don't think.
Well, I think honestly what it comes down to, I think the truth of the matter is people who are anti-gay marriage don't like gay people.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. And right. That to me is cruel. And so I identify that just from my personal point of view. I identify that as evil. And so I'm going to stand against that. If that comes around and by doing that, I get bitten for it later in some way. Well, I suppose that's too bad. But I'm not going to be silent about evil for fear of later reprisals. That doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Right.
Well, if there's any consolation, I think that the whole, generation of homophobia and the generation before that, which looked down on mixed race marriage, that generation is, frankly, it's on its way out.
It's dying out. And this is, I remember in the year 2000, okay, I remember being in a conversation with my wife's step uncle, because her mom remarried. And so we had all this family that wasn't really family, but we would. And we were having a big dinner in Scarsdale, New York, and the topic of gay marriage came up. And gay marriage in the year 2000 was very few people even knew that that was something that gays wanted. It just seemed like from outer space. So it took a while for everybody to kind of warm up to it. But this guy was like, that's never going to happen. It's absurd. It's a man and a man wanting to get married. It's ridiculous. No, of course not. And I remember saying, even though I had not yet firmly planted my feet on the side that I was going to eventually select, I remember saying to him, yeah, but you're 60 and my generation is going to make it happen because my generation isn't freaked out like you are about this. You guys are going to die and this is inevitable. This is what's going to happen. So you may want to make peace with it now or not. It doesn't matter. And eventually, I think over time, most rational people hopefully have come around to it and just said, even if I don't like gays, this doesn't hurt me. What's my problem? I hope, anyway.
There's no reasonable argument against it.
Right.
It's a little kind of ridiculous that we still have the conversation. I mean, where I live, it is legal, so it's not a big deal. It should be interesting to see how the divorce field does in a few years, but that's where we stand.
Well,
go ahead.
I was just going to say it kind of reminds me of the insanity that was going on when Obama signed off on the legislation to finally kill Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And, you had these ultra-righties just saying that, that the United States military is just going to fall apart from within, whereas you had governments like Canada and the UK, which had integrated or gotten rid of their version of Don't Ask, Don't Tell a long time ago. And somehow their militaries were still intact. And these nutbags were thinking that, oh God, if it happens in America, then the Marines are all going to start dancing in a chorus line, and God knows what's going to happen. But now 2 years after, or three, I don't know how long it's been, but now that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is gone in the United States, I mean, no one even cares anymore. I mean, it's a non-issue.
It's not a point of discussion. I never weighed in on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And the reason why is because I think the military is not my society. And right. I never felt like I really had a right to say. I would leave that to the military to say, to argue over. Yeah. I mean, not that I just never took a position on it. I never thought about it. I think everybody else thought about it, and not necessarily rightfully so, because it's a different world. It's not the real world. It's not America. It's the military.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my point of view.
One thing that CHV brought up, which, by the way, CHV is code for Chavez. But one thing that he brought up a minute ago was about mixed race marriage. That, from what I understand, is the entire reason our government got involved in marriage in the first place. They didn't want black people to marry white people in the mid to late 1800s. So they decided to start requiring marriage licenses that you had to apply for. So that just backs up Yeah, to prevent. That just backs up more my statement that the government should not even be involved with marriage. Everybody got along just fine. Yeah, everybody got along just fine until they did that.
Miscegenation used to be like, you would say that word in the same sentence as incest. Miscegenation. That cracks me up.
You know, I actually heard a clip of one of Nixon's old tapes around the time when Roe v. Wade was legalized, and he was making a comment to the effect of he didn't really like abortion. However, if there's a circumstance where a mixed race baby were conceived, that he would see there being a place for abortion in that circumstance. And he was completely serious.
It's flexible.
Just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Who was that again that said that?
That was Nixon.
Oh, boy.
It was recorded on his office recording machine.
Wow. Wasn't Nixon secretly gay?
Somebody put out a book. I don't know any guy who would possibly want to have sex with him.
Right. Somebody put out a book where it's filled with stories of him and his best friend who were like holding hands all the time and always off together in secret places while he was president.
That is creepy.
Well, yeah. Are you sure you're not confusing him with J. Edgar Hoover?
No, this is Nixon. One of the local, Kevin might know this, Detroit show, Drew and Mike, their radio show, but they were reading out of the book. I don't know the name of it, but I'm sure you could Google it.
Well, you know what? I have to say, fellas, this has been a very serious conversation. Now, will somebody please belch or something? Because we have to change the tone.
Save us, Nearing.
Can we talk for like a few minutes about crapping your pants in public?
Well, I crap my pants in public every day.
Yes! All right, good. We lighten the mood. All right, because we have a song by Michael that I've been dying to play. I love this song, Michael. I think this is your finest.
By Michael? Work. I thought this was Fabio.
I'm not playing those games with you. I want you to get credit for your work.
Okay, just a really quick background. Ethan was playing some Fabio music a couple weeks ago, right before recording a podcast, and he insisted that I should write Fabio-style music. So I did without telling him, and this is a song that I wrote. And actually, the chorus, I originally did the whole song like Fabio, but Ethan gave some direction and decided that the chorus should be sung. So what I did is I slipped in what I call the homeless guy voice for the chorus.
Can I be like the John Lennon to your Paul McCartney?
Yeah, totally.
Awesome. All right, well, here's Michael's new song. It is called...
Your face, my arm.
Tattoo of your face on my arm.
are a genius. That was beautiful.
Thank you. But I drew from the genius of Fabio.
His big buttery pecs. I can't believe it's not butter.
Yeah, I can't believe it's not buttery pecs.
Gentlemen, that was fun. I appreciate it. I love getting together with you guys once a week and just hashing out the issues and making sense of the insanity that surrounds us every single day.
Yep.
We didn't have Alfie this time. We didn't have Billy Tucci, but we'll try to get them for next time. Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, boo. But I'd like to just say thanks to This Week at Geek.net for hosting us, as they always do. The excellent work of Gorilla Dodd, who is our host, our engineer. And, you know, maybe this is the week that we'll ask for PayPal donations.
Yeah.
On Michael Dodd's behalf on my Facebook page.
What's his email address, by the way? ZeroFBI@hotmail.com.
Yeah, that's zero actually spelled out ZERO, in case you're really dumb. ZeroFBI@hotmail.com. That's his PayPal address. If you wouldn't mind sending him like 5 cents. Everybody who listens to this sends him 5 cents.
Yeah.
What'll that add up to?
Do it, Doug.
It'll be a lot.
If Dodd becomes a reality star, he's not going to need any donations.
That's true.
That might be, yeah. He's on MTV now as a reality star, so let's wish him luck. In the meantime, guys, let's sign off. Evan?
One day I shall rule the world. Until then, I'm going to bed. Good night.
Nearing?
I just shit myself.
Michael?
Well, in support of a vast amount of our friends, I'm just going to go out and get gay married when we're done here.
Well, CHV, do you want to marry Michael?
I don't know. Well, maybe we can go study first.
How about lunch first?
Right.
Thanks. On behalf of me, Ethan Van Sciver, and all my Van Sciver Town podcast friends, it's been fun. We'll see you again next week. Night-night.
All right, I apologize. I'm really, really sorry. I apologize unreservedly. I offer a complete and utter retraction. The imputation was totally without basis in fact and was in no way fair comment and was motivated purely by malice. And I deeply regret any distress that my comments may have caused you or your family. And I hereby undertake not to repeat any such slander at any time in the future.